You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, welcome back to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Good to have your company on this Tuesday. Dave Callum and Dave Tindall in situ and ready to discuss this week's golf events. We've got the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship on the European Tour and the Safeway Open on the PGA Tour. Good week coming up. Dave Tindall alongside me in the studio. I miss you, Dave. I missed you on my week off.
Yes, where did you go?
I went to Brighton at the back end of the week and just had a lazy opening few days of the week.
Okay, very good. Refreshed?
I am refreshed. It was lovely down by the seaside and it was good weather, and I've come back and I've managed to get trench foot on the walk to work this morning.
Yes, it's bad, isn't it, today?
I did catch a little bit of the golf last week, though. I managed to sneak in a few holes on Sunday when Danny Willett was just asserting, and I caught the closing stages. And Willett's been, in inverted commas, back for a while now, hasn't he? But this was certainly a vindication for all the hard work he's put in off the course. It was a brilliant performance in the European Tour's flagship event, and he's certainly a player that excels in the big ones, isn't he?
He is. You look at now what he's put together on his CV. You've got a Masters, you've got Dubai Desert Classic, you've got the DP World Tour Championship, and now this one. And yeah, I think the sort of message there in play, if he's up around the lead in a big event, you back him because he seems to just go to a different level, doesn't he? Like Harrington in his day, when they don't get in it as often as many players maybe, but when they're there, you know, they absolutely know how to finish it off. So superb performance by him, and I thought it was Rahm's just to blow the field away, and then it was Willett who did it.
Yeah, Rahm's, he's almost a victim of his own consistency, isn't he? Because he's so often in the top 10. I think his results since the US Open have just been extraordinary. You're expecting him to seal the deal and win every time he's in contention, and it's not that easy, and it's not that easy. It's never been that easy, even for the greats of the game, like Jack Nicklaus, so many times in contention.
That's
in major
right, yeah.
championships, so many times a runner-up. It's just not easy winning.
No, and it looks like he's sort of blowing chances every week, but, you know, that was his first ever start at Wentworth. Weird that I looked at the top five, that apart from Willett, the next four home had never played there before.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, which is kind of, you know, you think it course form would count for quite a bit there, but no, getting the first look at it, most of them.
Is it just me, or does everyone talk about Willett and the phrase hard working? It seems to be in every interview people are talking about how hard working is off the course, and it seems to be the theme of all those conversations. As if others have just got there on talent alone, basically.
Yeah.
But
I'm sure they've all done their 10,000 hours.
Good for Willett. And I think that's one of the... I think that might be... That event at Wentworth might be my favourite event outside of the major championships.
Yeah, and I think the move really helped this time. I noticed Willett's quotes, actually. He said, these days... I don't know whether this was... He was sort of caught up in the flow of climate change, but he was saying kind of before in May, because now the weather in this country has kind of moved, so you tend to get nicer weather at the back end of it a little bit more, where you get more rubbish weather January to March, which doesn't help the prep of the course for May. So I think the move was great, and you got some Americans coming over. They did really well, Reed and Horschel. You know, they might go back and tell a few of their mates on the PGA Tour, this, you know, come over here, guys. So all good.
Well, Horschel was particularly complimentary, and he was actually scathing of the majority of the setups in America, saying that this course, it's not all about hitting the ball a certain amount of distance. It's more strategy, and I love the ebb and flow of the golf course as well. You've got stretches where you've got to protect your score, and then stretches where you need to go on a birdie blast.
Yeah,
and that's what I like about Wentworth.
Yeah, and then you've got those two par fives to close with. That previously, back in the day before they did the kind of remodeling, you could finish eagle, which sounds exciting, but it was kind of, you know, you're going to pick up shots, but you saw McIlroy sort of blow shots there. You can still make
a few huge numbers
on
17 and 18.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's real sort of, you know, boom or bust on those holes. So it's great.
Yeah, I'd love to see a Ryder Cup there as well.
Oh, yeah,
that'd
absolutely.
That'd be fantastic,
yeah.
Wouldn't it?
And so you get such great crowds, don't you? It's
a shame
we don't have more events in this country.
And on the PGA Tour, just a quick word on that finish. Sebastian Munoz beat Sung Jae-im in a playoff to win the Sanderson Farms Championship. A brilliant birdie on the last to get in the playoff as well. Im had posted 18 under, and Joaquin Neiman had won the week before. And Sebastian Munoz, if you like that angle,
your Latin American angle.
Yeah, he's one of his best friends on tour.
Yeah.
That win had been coming for him, and I'm sure there's a win coming around the corner for Sung Jae-im as well.
Yes, I think so. I mean, that's unlucky, isn't it? You're in the clubhouse, a guy needs to hole a 15-footer just to have a chance of a playoff, and then he holds that, and then he beats you in the playoff. Mm. I think it maybe didn't help that Im had posted his score a little bit earlier, so he was sat there a little bit cold.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas Munoz just came out and got it, but Munoz was findable, wasn't he? He had some decent form.
Yeah, both pickable last week.
Yeah.
Didn't manage to pick either of them, but they were both pickable.
Im's amazing. He doesn't ever seem to dip.
He's the Iron Man, isn't he?
Yeah. Just keeps going and plays well every week.
Yeah, we'll come on to him a little bit later.
Im or Im?
Im.
Did he drop Im the
Im
H then?
Yeah, that's very Yorkshire, isn't it? let's talk about this week then. We've got the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship first up. This event pretty quickly became one of the most sought-after titles on the schedule following its inception. We're back in 2001 now, and it's attracted a brilliant field. And as the European Tour has sort of fought for relevancy, they seem to have found it in this run in the autumn following the end of the PGA Tour season. Last week's event, as we mentioned, was superb, and this one should be too, with a very strong field. Rory McIlroy heading the betting at 11-2. John Rahm is 7-1. Justin Rose is 14s. Tommy Fleetwood 16-1. Shane Lowry is 18-1. Danny Willett and Tony Finau both 22s. Bernd Wiesberger is 25-1, and it's 28-1 and bigger the rest. McIlroy's been searching for this title for a long time, hasn't he? I mean, he plays with his father, and it's one that he wants, but he's not quite managed to get over the line yet.
That's right. It's taunted him, hasn't it? And he can't get the win at St Andrews in the Open either. He was famously led, didn't he? And then shot an 80, I think, in round two. And then he did his foot in before 2015. So just something's blocking him getting a win there. So he'll try again. And after his weird week at Wentworth, when he just went to pieces on the back nine on day one.
It was bizarre because I was here on Thursday.
Channeling Port Rush.
Yeah, watched some of the opening play, and he was 3 under through seven.
Yeah, and you thought,
here we go. Yeah. And he's just going to coast through and shoot a 65 and position himself at the top of the leaderboard. And
I had one of those.
It just all went to pot. Yeah. It was weird.
I had one of those moments where you're looking at how someone's playing, and then you go back down the leaderboard and you can't find him, and you think, oh, he's pulled out, and then you think, well, he can't possibly be any further down than I'm looking, and then you start from the bottom up and, my God, he's 4 over par. What happened there? So very, very strange, McIlroy, but fair play to him. He came back and finished in the top 10, so as he always seems to do. So you'd think that was just one weird nine holes.
And he's a very similar price this week to the price he was last week as well. Do you think that's about right? For McIlroy, I take it you're not selecting him this week.
No, I mean, he's certainly in the category of each way bet to nothing, isn't he, at 11-2. You could have a dabble at that and thinking, well, if he doesn't win, I'll probably get a top five, or what are we, top six even.
Yeah, top six.
But I don't know.
Yeah, it's not that appealing, I don't think, to me, because I think this is a pro-am, so it's such an easy setup for these professionals. Each of them get a crack at Carnoustie, Kings Barnes and St Andrews. Those that make the 54-hole cut then play the old course on Sunday. I'm sure many people listening know the format already. And the scoring depends on the weather, but you can post some very low numbers around here. Tyrrell Hatton, when he won back-to-back in 2016 and 17, he posted totals of 23 under and 24 under. So it brings a lot of players into it. And I was looking, trying to finalise my selections for this week, and the list was very long.
Yes, and McIlroy could just get outputted, couldn't he, by somebody?
It could happen, couldn't it? It's not for me at 11-2 this week, anyway.
To be fair, I did look at Rahm, because Rahm can just demolish these sort of setups.
Rahm was more tempting at 7-1 to me than McIlroy was at 11-2, because Rahm's got an incredible strike rate on the European Tour as well.
Yeah, so I fully expect him to be in it. It's just whether he can get his nose in front on the line. I mean, he's won the Irish Open with, what, 20 God knows how many under.
Yeah.
So if it's an easiest links and a non-windy one, and the weather doesn't look too bad, the one the forecast I looked at, that was yesterday, seems okay-ish. There's wind, but there's nothing extreme.
I think if it's good weather, Rahm will feast
be
on this.
Be out to stop, won't he? He's shooting the 20 unders.
He just doesn't have an off week, does he, John Rahm?
No.
And he's just he's an absolute monster, and I'm looking forward to seeing how he performs in the major championships.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be the only maybe slight thing. It's going to be a bit chilly, certainly in the morning. I think we're going to get the old bobble hats out.
Yeah.
That look, which is quite sort of associated with this event. And if you look at the last six winners, it's either English players or Danish players. So you could, I think looking at this kind of Northern Europe, the Scandies, I think looking at that is kind of not, it's not a coincidence, I don't think, that those sort of players have done well in iffy weather.
Yeah, and those two take a big chunk out of the market as well, don't they? You've got to look at it from that perspective. I've actually got three picks this week.
Oh, yeah, blimey.
Yeah. How many have you got?
I've got two, so you go first.
I'll lead off. Well, I'm going with someone who's not a Northern European.
Right.
I fancy Hao Tong Li this week.
Okay,
We've ducked him slightly in the market, but I've had him in mind for this event for quite a while, and I thought 40-1, I still got to play him. His links form is obviously very strong. Finished third in the Open Championship at Royal Birkdale in 2017 with that blistering final round. And one of the best finishes he's posted in the second half of the season was when finishing 15th at the Irish Open at La Hinche. He's entitled to feel rusty last week at Wentworth on his return to action after 5 weeks off, but I'm encouraged by the way he struck the ball. Statistically, it was way better than his finishing position indicated. And then you're just looking for some tournament form, and on his debut in the event last year, he won the Pro-Am with his playing partner Alan Zhang, and he finished fifth in the professional side of things, despite opening up with that 75 at King's Barnes. That was an outstanding effort, and I'm expecting a big week from Hao Tong Li at 40-1.
Yeah, I certainly look to him as well.
Your first pick?
I'm starting off at 100-1.
Are you?
Mm.
Okay.
And I'm going down the kind of theme of the Scandinavians. Can you guess?
Is it Alexander Bjork?
I look to him, but it's actually Joachim Lagergren.
Okay.
Because he's got a strangely good record here, because he finished fourth on debut in 2015, and you thought, that's a bit odd, isn't it? Where's that come from? And then he goes back the next year and finishes fourth again, which is just almost equally as bizarre, because you thought maybe he just had one good week. So something he clearly likes about this setup, this arrangement of courses. Then he goes back again in 2017 and finishes 12th, and you're thinking, right, this is an absolute, you know, tournament specialist. You could have had that in mind last year, and he played terribly and missed the cut, but I think he was just playing, you know, that he's got that in him to just be completely off. But I would argue that 4-4, 12 and missed cut, that's someone who can clearly play this course. And he wasn't doing much this year, but you look at his last five results. He's got 7th in the KLM Open in the Netherlands. He's got a 10th in the Scandinavian Invitation, 20th in the Porsche European Open, 24th at Wentworth. He's got lots of, this is probably the most consistent golf he's played in his career.
Yeah, yeah.
So you add that to his clearly, you know,
affinity
exposed
with the links,
course form, and his love for these courses. And I thought he would be 80s, 60s, 60s, something like that. So three-figure price, I don't think you can argue with that.
Okay, Joachim Lagergren, number one pick at 100-1. Would he be the headline selection as well?
I think I just started out at hundreds to sort of be flash.
Yeah, I like it.
Get the listeners' attention.
I'll tell you who you highlighted in your Roto World golf piece, Dave, that I looked at as a Scandinavian. Mm-hmm. Nikolai Højgaard.
Yeah, the youngster.
Yeah, 225-1, and he just made such an impression with both his swing and his demeanour when finishing second in the KLM Open. He was tempting.
Yes.
I mean, you look through his form, it's not even that good in the Nordic Golf League.
Yes, which is a bit odd, isn't it? It's like maybe he was just treading water and he wanted to get in the big time. But in that event, I remember him, he started well, and I had to write a little bit about him. Who's this guy?
Yeah.
And then you wait for him to go away on day two. Oh, he's still there, and he's still there at day three, and he sees it through to the finish.
Yeah, and I mean, he didn't shirk the issue at all, did he? And he's got a wonderful golf swing, really stylish. And he looks like we don't know yet, do we? I've not seen enough of him. And you look through his results, and I'm expecting, like, lots top of, finishes in the Challenge Tour, and it's not that.
No,
is
you thought
it,
he might have kind of like Matt Wallace type Alps Tour form or something with a load of wins, but it's not there. But
he's got one win, I think, in the Nordic Golf League.
But there's something. I mean, to be fair, he's only 18, is he? I think
18,
so he hasn't had that much chance to fully develop. But if you can come out and finish second in a European Tour event so early in your career, you've got.
I'll be looking for him on the leaderboard this week just to see how he goes.
Yeah,
but 225-1. If you want to be really flash, throw a few quid at him. I'm going for someone at the other end of the spectrum for my second pick in terms of experience. Martin Kaymer.
All right.
I like this week at 66-1. I just can't resist having a few quid on him. I mean, he won it in 2010, and he's been through a bit of a dip following that chance to win in America in the big event in the Memorial, and blew an opportunity in Germany as well. But last week's made cut was a step in the right direction, and he's got a cracking record in this event, even if you ignore the win. He finished second in 2008, seventh in 2013, sixth in 2016 as well, and three of his best performances on tour this season have come in links events. He finished tied for ninth in the Irish Open, tied for 20th in Scotland, eighth in the British Masters at Hillside. So those are top finishes, and I think he's worth a bet. He's looking to rediscover that winning touch, isn't he, Kaymer? But I thought 66-1.
Yeah, he's a price, isn't
he? I mean, he's more than fair, isn't it, for a guy that's got such a good record at this track and has outstanding back class.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, so he's my second pick.
Is that a word? Back class.
Back class. I think so. Yeah, back class. You talk about a horse with back class, don't you? Maybe it's.
Do you need
it's...
the word back in there? Can you just have class? I mean, you're trying to point out that it was.
I'm talking about his.
Prevalent a few years ago.
Yeah.
Let's run with it.
I use that terminology a lot when speaking about horse racing, so maybe it's that. Maybe I picked up that phrase backlash from that, and it's not
hopefully
actually a real thing.
Get some backlash from the listeners
hopefully
for poor usage.
What's your second pick?
I am going to go with another outsider. Seems to be a bit of a theme this week. 80-1, Tom Lewis.
Yeah, can see that.
When he won the Korn Ferry Tour Championship at the very start of this month, you would have thought he'd be put in at 50s here because at this tournament he was third back in 2013. Actually shot bookend 64s there. Can we say bookend?
You can definitely use that.
As in two bookends, first and fourth rounds. So it's clearly that was great. And then he had a strange run where he missed four cuts, but he came back last year and finished 10th. And that was part of a really good spell of form that he was in. Now, having won the Korn Ferry Tour Championship, a big, big moment in his career. I think it's quite understandable that he's just had a slight dip in the last 2 weeks.
He's that sort of golfer, though, Tom Lewis, as well, to a certain extent.
Well, say current form, say you've got a win and some missed cuts, and course form, you've got a third, a tenth, and a load of missed cuts.
Yeah,
so
his
consistency isn't his middle name.
No.
It's probably Alan or something like that. But that was just surprising. I think too much emphasis has been put on his two missed cuts of late, because even the one at the Greenbrier, he shot 68-70, so not a lot wrong there. But even at Wentworth, he went under par in round one, so it was just he had a bad Friday, and that's fine. He can regroup. He probably needs a little bit of time just to get his head clear about what he's done winning that Korn Ferry Tour Championship. Mm-hmm. So I think he can go back to a tournament. And his recent form there, the 10th was fresh. It was only last year. I just think he's good, isn't he? That's how he made his name, being the first-round leader at Royal St George's in 2011 when he was an amateur. So you certainly think of him as a Lynx player. And when you look, I think we discussed this the other week, when he does win, it's with like 20... two under and stuff, isn't it? So low score and easy courses, I think those are for him.
Yeah, and Lynx form as well. I mean, we discussed it at the top, but I think Lynx form is absolutely crucial in this event. My third and final selection, Romain Langasque, is my last pick at 80-1. His best performance this season came on a Lynx track in the Scottish Open, finished third. Last two starts have been very good. 27th place finish in the Netherlands and 17th last week at Wentworth. Incredibly talented player and at home in these conditions, and I think he'll go well this week. So Romain Langasque is my third and final pick at 80-1.
Yeah, very good.
Tell you who I thought you'd go for.
Oh, go on.
Your old friend.
My old friend,
in
Richie
the mountains,
Ramsey.
Richie Ramsey.
Yeah, he did well last week, didn't he?
He played well last week, and he loves this setup, doesn't he? 100-1.
Yeah, I had him in my DraftKings team last week.
Did you?
And he certainly did his bit, but the rest didn't, which was a shame.
Yeah, I thought 100-1 was reasonable for
again,
Richie Ramsey.
It's in that kind of Lagergren sort of bracket in terms of he's got course form and some current form. I looked at Beef as well, Andrew Johnston.
Yeah.
Thought we've slightly swerved him at 66s, but he, current form, he was fourth in the Scottish Open, 10th in the Scandinavian Invitation, 9th at Wentworth. What I couldn't get my head around is he's missed all three cuts here, which doesn't make any sense.
No, I think if you've got the experience, though, I think we saw it last year, didn't we, Lucas Beergaard? I think he'd missed
four cuts in
a row in the Alfred Dunhill Links before winning it.
But you think Beef, he's so sort of social, you think he would love
and
having a laugh.
The atmosphere.
And,
maybe he has too much of a laugh.
He got caught too much up in that, because those three missed cuts, the last one was 2016, so he's missed it for a couple of years. And even during those missed cuts, one of those rounds he shot 63, so he can clearly play well on links courses, and he's in good form. He had that very kind of revealing blog, didn't he, on the European Tour, where he talked about mental health issues that he's had. So I think he seems to be in a good place now, which is great. Three top 25s in his last three starts, two of those top 10s. I think he's certainly worth a close look at this week.
Yeah, and this event isn't a joke event, is it, by any stretch of the imagination? The amateurs is definitely separate from the professionals because, I mean, it's worth $5 million.
Yeah,
it's one of the richest events on tour now.
Yeah. You've got Justin Rose playing with Justin Timberlake and all these sort of ex-footballers around as well. And, so there is that element, but you've seen it on the American tour. Like, you think maybe all the big guns will be distracted. They don't get distracted, do they?
No.
Often these events are just won by top players.
Yeah, we've seen some real skinners down the years, haven't we, as well? Like Oliver Wilson winning at 1,000-1 or whatever, but you've got the cream generally tends to
somewhere
rise
near
the
very top. Yeah,
I tell you who else was on my mind towards the top of the betting anyway. Eric Van Rooyen at 33-1.
Yeah,
and I just think if he had better tournament form, he'd be a short 25-22-1 this week, because his star is definitely ascending. He's got a whole host of links form to draw upon, and he's not had any backward step following his win. He's just kept on posting top finishes, and I thought Eric Van Rooyen would go well at 33-1, and Matthias Schwab another one.
Yeah.
But 40-1 struck me as slightly skinny.
South Africans have got a good record, haven't they? Van Rooyen, Brandon Grace won this event before. You've seen Ernie Els just play brilliantly. You're too young to remember. Do you remember when it used to be a team event?
When
you were in nappies.
No, it wasn't quite that long ago, was it? It used to be a three-man event, didn't it?
Yeah, I used to love that.
Yeah. I can't remember that.
Right.
I can't remember that, I'm afraid. And were you upset when it went to this format then?
Well, because of the great fields.
Yeah.
I almost wish they'd sort of played two events there and just kept the old one going as well.
Yeah.
Of all the kind of, different tweaks and different formats that have popped up on the European Tour.
Yeah.
I think they should go back to a good old team event that.
Yeah, okay.
Just a point there for Keith Pelly.
Shall we move on?
Yes, let's do that.
Let's talk about the Safeway Open, which is the event on the PGA Tour this week. This is certainly one of the strongest fields ever assembled for this fall series tournament, and it's largely down to the spot in the schedule, which has changed, and the golf course as well. The North Course, Silverado Resort, is hosting for the sixth straight year. It's a Robert Trent Jones Jr. design. It's been reworked by Johnny Miller. The fairway is tough to find. The hole's dogleg in both directions. It's got a very similar feel to Riviera in that respect. There's much more of a chance to score from the rough at this venue, though. And for a resort course, Dave, it's by no means a pushover. The greens are pretty tricky because they are Poana and can get chewed up in the afternoon for the later starters. Any angle into this event, first of all, before I spin through the prices?
It was hard to get a grip on this one, really. Like you say, it's the scoring's kind of fairly, steady, isn't it?
It's not as easy as you would anticipate.
No, exactly. And
I think that's down to the Poana greens.
You've got a couple of first-time winners, but then because it's a bit kind of late season, you know, the time of year in California, it's cold in the mornings.
Yeah.
It's just a bit of a tricky one, I think.
Justin Thomas heading the betting, making his seasonal debut at 13-2. Patrick Cantlay is 10-1. Adam Scott and Hideki Matsuyama are both 14-1. Bryson DeChambeau is 20-1. Sung Jaim is 22s. Francesco Molinari 25-1, Benny Arne is 25-1, Brant Snedeker 30-1, and it's 33-1 and bigger the rest. I found this difficult. I had a few on the shortlist, but I've come up just with the one bet this week for this event.
I've got two.
Okay, I'll let you fire away then.
We've already mentioned him. Sung Jaim.
He's
going to win soon, isn't he, surely?
You know, I looked at the price and thought, 22-1, is this a mug bet? First of all, because I thought of the price, but I was so tempted to go for him as well.
Because I was thinking Joaquin Niemann was a mug bet.
Yeah.
Kind of when he won.
Yeah. It was a very similar price, wasn't it? But I think
Colin Morikawa, when he won, he was, you know, they're all, you know, short prices and you can't keep missing them.
No, you've just got the value in the back of your mind. But I don't think 22-1 is by any means a bad price on Sung Jaim.
It's almost like 18s would have been definite mug bet. But I think just adding this two, the second two, just somehow psychologically gets him over the line for me.
Especially each way.
Yeah, each way. You know, his form is so consistent. Just to run down. Well, I think I did it up. He's got 10 finishes of tie 26 or better in his last 12 starts. So he's just there every week. And so close last week. It was quite interesting. I went through all his kind of interviews and he doesn't come across as someone who overthinks stuff. They were trying to... I read some stuff with other players and they're talking about the leap between Challenge or Korn Ferry and the main tour, and they were saying, oh, it's quite different. The courses are firmer. And he just went, I didn't really notice any difference. So he's just sort of effortlessly moved up a grade, hasn't he?
He's just metronomic, isn't he? You put a golf club in his hand and he just swings it, basically.
Going.
He's one of those that he's played he plays seemingly every single week.
Yeah.
And yet he's still, you see reports from guys out there covering the PGA Tour, and he's still the last one on the range every night and the first one there every morning. It's
hardworking. Forget hardworking Danny Willett.
Yeah, well, precisely. Sung Jaim's the real Iron Man here.
Exactly. And obviously, there's so much of this current form that he's got, and you're thinking, wherever he's going to go, I'm going to back him. But then obviously, the clincher, I think, is that he was fourth in this event last year.
Yeah.
So clearly, like Silverado, there's not a lot of. Much more I can add, really. It's just just a bit on his comments. I know some people take quotes with a pinch of salt. It just struck me that he's not going to be sat in his hotel room at night kind of with his head in his hands saying, I was so unlucky. He's just going to go out and play again and keep going. He's got the other little angle. He's got the incentive of trying to get on the President's Cup team. He was 11th in qualifying, so he missed the automatic top 10. So he's just going to keep doing everything he can to impress Ernie Els, really.
We talked about it a few weeks ago, didn't we? Or about a month ago.
And Neiman, obviously, that kind of, you know, played into that as well.
I'd be astonished if Sung Jaim wasn't on that team personally.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Even if he doesn't win this week, which I know he's got an excellent opportunity.
I still think that it just fuels him a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. My sole selection is Dylan Fratelli. At 50-1.
Like the South Africans.
Yeah, like the South Africans. Fratelli finished sixth last week, and he's already won on a resort course last season, obviously, at the John Deere Classic. And that was an outstanding performance in the Sanderson Farms Championship. He ranked number one tee to green and first in approach play. I think that's the key stat this week as well, approach play at Silverado, because you can spray it off the tee, even though the fairways are difficult to find. It's all about... the second shot, and that run in Mississippi, incredibly encouraging. I'm just hopeful he can keep that form going this week. Having won the John Deere, I think he can have another success. And 50-1, I thought, was fair on Dylan Fratelli, who comes into this in form and finished 25th at the track last year as well. So, yeah, the South African is my sole selection this week.
Yeah, totally good. I've got one more.
Yes.
I was looking at... Kevin Na very closely, but we've slightly got him at 40s. Still playable, though, I think, at 40s.
How do you think Phil Mickelson will play this week?
He's an interesting one. He's full of himself on social media, isn't he? Saying he's really pumped and wanting to
and
go.
And he loves playing in California.
Oh, his record's superb in this event, too. It's good.
Yeah, well, this is the sort of course that suits him, because I know that there's a bit of strategy with the dog legs, but you can still have a blast off the tee and find the greens from the rough on this course.
Yeah, if your strategy is just to back Phil Mickelson in California, still, I would say you're on the right lines at 50s. I wouldn't bet anyone
50s
off.
50s is fair, isn't it, this week?
It's worth a little chance, isn't it, at that?
Yeah.
But the one I'm going to go for is someone with particularly strong course form, as he's won it twice at Silverado, and we've got him at a good price, Brendan Steele at 80s. Obviously, if you win somewhere twice, it's kind of, you've got pictures of on your wall, haven't you, and everything, and he won it back-to-back in 2016 and 2017, so they are recent wins. He's not done an awful lot of late, but it's sort of steady. So I just think get him back on here and he might just kick on a bit. He was 21st in the Travelers, makes the cut in the Rocket Mortgage, the 3M Open, Barracuda.
Yeah.
Then after the break of the playoffs, he didn't make those, but he came out and played Greenbrier and shot 69, 67, 70, 68. For 36, so I think that was a nice just sort of warm-up for him to go back. Maybe stretching it to win it again, but I could see him certainly getting in the top six this week. And I thought 80 is just on the two-time course winner who's from California, loves the place, was worth a go.
Yeah, winning it twice, you're thinking about naming your child Safeway, aren't you? 80-1's fair on Steele. I like to call him Morikawa this week as well. I thought 33 I'm seeing.
Yeah, oh, is he?
Yeah, I think he's drifted slightly. I'm seeing 33-1. Are you
seeing 28s?
It's just been cut then.
Yes.
Just been cut.
Live.
So 28-1's a bit skinny now. But back in slightly calmer waters here. His win came in Reno on Poana Greens.
That's right, yeah.
And, I just expect him to... I missed the cut in 2016, but much better player now. I'm expecting him to perform this time around. So he caught my eye. And another one at a price, Nate Lashley.
I looked at him.
He got his win in the Rocket Mortgage Classic, emotional win after the turmoil he's been through in his personal life. And he finished 17th here last year and was tied for third at Greenbrier on his latest start. I mean, he'll be playing with such freedom now, having that exemption. 80-1, Nate Lashley was one that stood out as well.
Yeah, Harold Varner at 66s I was close with as well for this. He's played it four times. He's got two top 15s, and to be honest, he should have four top 15s, because in the other two where he didn't, where he fell away, he was fourth and 11th going into the final round. So he's got some good course form. He was third at the Northern Trust, top 20 at the Greenbrier, so he was very close to getting a look as well.
Yeah, very fair shout at 66-1.
Who was the other one I looked at?
Did any of the top end of the market tempt you at all?
Thomas has got some course form there, hasn't he? And Adam Scott has been playing really well. Matsuyama's got some course form.
Yeah, and there's a link with Riviera with Adam Scott as well that sort of bolsters his chance.
Yeah, Cantlay, a Californian as well. I think, any of those four. Maybe I was just thinking at the prices I would want them to have had a recent run.
Yeah, I didn't find them any particularly appealing at those prices.
I wondered as well if Abraham Ansah is good mates with Munoz and Neiman.
Mm. Possibly. No idea, but possibly.
Get a bit of inspiration there.
45-1.
Yeah, so there's plenty you can go through in this event, but happy with the two I've got.
Okay, shall we wrap up?
Yes.
Give us your selections for the Alfred Dunhill Links, first of all.
So for the Alfred Dunhill Links, I will have a point each way on Tom Lewis at 80s, and I'll go a point each way on Joachim Lagergren at 100s as well.
Yeah, I'm going to point each way on all three of my players in that event. Houghton Lee at 40-1, Martin Keimer at 66-1, and Romain Langasque at 80-1. And in the safe way, just one player for me, a point each way, Dylan Fratelli at 50s.
Yeah.
For you?
At 22s, I'll need to go a point and a half each way on Sung Jae-im at 22s, which means I'll just cut my stake on Brendan Steele a little bit to half a point each way at 80s.
Very good. Thank you, Dave. I enjoyed that.
Cheers, Dave. Yes.
Thank you, everyone that's tuned in and listened. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Dave Tyndall Golf and at D Kellner. And don't forget to check out the hashtag Your Odds on the William Hill website and on the app as well. A full range of betting markets for us this week ahead of the Alfred Dunhill Links and the Safeway Open. And myself and Dave, we will be back with more golfing action next week. Thank you for tuning into the podcast. And if you're having a bet, the very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.